السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهداه وبعد. All praise is indeed due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the messengers whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent to mankind to remove them from darkness to light. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us all who are seated here this evening, to bless every single one of us who will be listening. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all goodness and our offspring, those to come up to the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all steadfast inshaAllah, and may He keep us on the right path. Ameen. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters and dearest listeners, as I had promised, we will be continuing with the topic of marriage that we had commenced yesterday, because it is a very serious topic and we would love and we would like to see happier homes across the globe. We need to know what we are taught by the creator of myself and yourselves, as well as the creator of entire creation, regarding how we should be living, inshallah. We had mentioned many points yesterday. I am not going to go back through them. We spoke for almost an hour. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the words we've uttered and to let them ring in our ears, so that whenever we have a problem or whenever we have even a day of happiness, we will be able to bear in mind the decree of the Creator, inshallah. The issue that I'm going to commence with this evening is the issue of problems and difficulty in marriage. It is normal and natural that two people who are brought up in totally different homes with totally different likes and dislikes, sometimes with entire different schools they've went to and different communities they've lived in, it is only normal and natural that they have at times differences. And these differences are not unnatural. They are something that really we should understand, we need to prepare for and keep ourselves equipped. A winner is the one who knows how to handle difference of opinion. The first rule, the golden rule, always listen. That is why it is reported that you have two ears and one mouth. We would have had two mouths and one set of ears, or should I say, it doesn't even want to come out of my mouth, to be honest with you. One ear, it's impossible to have had that. Allahu Akbar. We need to listen more than we actually speak. Alhamdulillah. And let's listen to the opinion of our own spouses, our children, our parents, our in-laws. At least lend them an ear. Listen to what they are trying to say. If they come up with something better than what you have, which is closer to what the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies in, then definitely give up your opinion and surrender to theirs. It is not a match where people think that it is my view or I will definitely not surrender. No. They say my way or highway. We don't want to listen to that type of statement, inshallah. We want to listen to what others have to say. We want to listen to their views, and at the same time, where it is reasonable, where it is understandable, alhamdulillah, be broad-minded and at the same time be tolerant, for as long as it does not earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant that to us. Now, when there is a problem or a dispute between husband and wife, the first step the Quran speaks about in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that it is important that the two of them open the doors of communication and communicate with one another as to what is the problem. Yesterday we spoke about the importance of communication in marriage. And I remember very clearly mentioning that it is very important to have an open relation between husband and wife. You need to be able to speak. Sometimes one of the two might be more jocular than the other. Adjust to the other, inshallah. Sometimes one of the spouses likes to joke a little bit more than the other, and the other gets offended. That's not good enough. Try to understand the other. Let the doors of communication be open, inshallah. If there is a matter, a problem, you have faced a difficulty, you have an issue you'd like to address, address it as soon as possible. Don't leave it for the next day, because that is detrimental. In the evening, what happens? It hibernates and it grows and it multiplies. By the time the morning comes, the problem is double fold or triple fold. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So that is why it is important we speak, and we speak with respect, without using abusive words, without using vulgar language. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us understanding. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa, وإن امرأة خافت من بعلها نشوزا أو إعراضا فلا جناح عليهما أن يصلحا بينهما صلحا والصلح خير وأحضرت الأنفس الشح وإن تحسنوا وتتقوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when a woman is fearing that her husband may become evil or is being bad and so on, at the time of a dispute where you find the man is turning away from you, then it is best to arrive at a solution between the two of you. Resolve it in one way or another. There are certain details mentioned in these verses which I'm not going to go into. But the crux and the message we need to take back is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. It is better for you to resolve your matters between the two of you. And we went through quite a bit yesterday. I told you I'm not going to repeat it, but let me say one word inshallah, that it is very, very important that we understand one another and put ourselves in each other's shoes. Last night someone came to me after I said that and told me, my wife wears high heels. If I go into her shoes, I'll probably drop. Allahu Akbar. The reality is, that is on a lighter note. We know what is meant by this, that we need to try and look at it from their angle and see what they are trying to say. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to resolve our matters. Remember one thing, never ever discuss your marital problems with the public, because tomorrow you will solve your problem and the whole public will be talking about how you are not getting on with your spouse. They won't know that the problem is solved. A fool is the one who can discuss his own problems of the house with the general public. Sometimes even your closest friends do not need to know what is going on in your own house, because they will not know how to handle that news and information. Sometimes people are waiting for you to have a problem, and then when you tell them, they start saying, Alhamdulillah, may Allah protect us. Those are hypocrites. Those are not proper Muslims. Sometimes people are happy at your loss and they are sad at your gain. So therefore, keep your happiness and your sadness within your home, inshallah. If you'd like to share happiness with those who are genuine, alhamdulillah. But as for sadness, even those who are genuine, keep them out of the picture initially, as per the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Resolve it between the two of you directly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us do that. Remember one thing, let's not be petty in our marriages. Some small item, a small little thing, possibly a little mistake and so on, that might have repeated itself once or twice. Don't become petty. Learn to forgive and forget. Forgiveness begins at home. We know the English saying, charity begins at home. But it does not end at home as well. You know, that just came to my mind now. Inshallah, I will get to that. But to start with, when we say charity begins at home, you'd like to smile, start smiling at home first. You'd like to be good, you'd like to forgive, start forgiving at home first. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And don't misinterpret that saying as though it would now mean that I need to be good only in the house and the rest of the places I don't have to be good. Or I should help only within my closed circle and I should not broaden the circle. No, then slowly but surely the circle should then become bigger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us be good to absolutely everyone inshallah, as far as possible. Then if the matter is still not resolved, sometimes it's a bigger problem. It is something that the two of them cannot solve themselves because of some reason. Allah says in the Quran, and I've just read the verse before you, وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحْ. A simple translation of that is man pulls towards himself all the time. Man is very miserly when it comes towards his own things. Quite stingy, if I can use that word. Shuh is the highest level of stinginess. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. When it comes to you and someone else, you are always right and they are always wrong. That is the general nature of man. So the winner is the one who can look at the other side and learn to say, look, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, and really I won't repeat that again. So what if you have to say that once, twice, three times, so long as the problem is resolved and it's your own spouse, subhanallah, your own children, your own parents, what's wrong with that? Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. If the problem is not resolved, we are allowed to take it further. How can we take it further? Now, say for example, if a man has a wife who doesn't listen at all, who really doesn't want to fulfill her role, who doesn't want to understand anything at all, May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such women. We spoke about that yesterday where we said, it is not a competition who is more powerful in the home. That's not the competition. The competition is who can fulfill the role better than the other. Allahu Akbar. Be a good mother in the house. Be a good father in the house. Let the father not try to be the mother in the home. The decisions of what formula to feed the children, let it be the mother's inshallah. That department, leave it for her. Let her go and try and find out. Unless obviously the husband is a pediatrician. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. And thereafter, there are other decisions you need to leave for the males. Let them be the males of the home. It is not a bout or a battle, Allahu Akbar. It is some competition with one another in order to see who fulfills their role better and not who is more dominating and more powerful. Believe me, when you fulfill your role in the correct manner, you will be able to succeed both in this world as well as in the life after death. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells the man that if you'd like, what you could do to resolve the problem is show a slight bit of disinterest. Maybe you can turn away slightly. Not so much that it will compound the problem. But you need to employ your intellect. And this is why Allah gives us options. And Allah says, look, there are 3-4 things that you could do. Employ that which is the most effective in your house. Sometimes if you turn away a little bit, she might turn away completely. So that shows who dominates. May Allah protect us all. But if you were, for example, maybe not to speak as much as you did, possibly not to smile, making it clear what the problem is. Not just arrive at home and suddenly you stop talking. No one knows. You know, Jibreel alayhi salam stopped coming. He doesn't come to us anymore. We are not prophets. Don't expect revelation from the heavens to drop down to tell them what is the problem. You need to speak, communicate. Say, look, this is the issue. I'm not very happy about it. And you know, we'd like to see what we can do about it. Try and resolve it. If it's not yet resolved, at least they would know why you are upset. A day is more than enough. One simple action which shows disinterest is enough for a female who has a brain, inshallah. And for a male as well who has a brain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all understanding. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if that still does not help, you may decide to sleep on the couch. Really, sleeping on the couch is a term that we use. Yes, we understand what that means is you turn away in the bedding. You might want to face the other direction. Allahu Akbar. You might want to sleep, for example, in another set of bedding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding and never let us be from amongst those whose problems even get to that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us resolve our marital problems. For those who have problems, believe me, these auspicious nights of the month of Ramadan, they are no coincidence that we are discussing this. It is a plan from Allah directed at every single person who is listening. Subhanallah. If this message has got to you, it was created for your ears. It was not meant to miss you. Ma asabaka lam yakul liyukhti'aka. That which got to your ears or that which got to you in any way was never ever meant to miss you. Allah planned it to get to your ears or to get to you if it is sustenance. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and to guide us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a term that a lot of the people in this world have misunderstood. He says, and this is a very, very powerful term, and I hope we understand and listen to it very carefully because we don't want any misunderstanding.
وَالَّتِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ فَعِظُوهُنَّ وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَاضْرِبُوهُنَّ.
Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those whom you fear that they have now turned away or they have become unruly, they are misbehaving from your spouses, meaning from your wives, or they are evil or they have some bad characteristics in them, you should employ the most effective method to resolve the matter and the problem. You may want to, I see some are actually smiling at me. They are wondering what I'm about to say. Allahu Akbar. Those who understand the Arabic language are waiting for the translation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. You may want to address her directly to give a warning, that is one. And you may want to separate the bedding, that is two. And you may want to tap her. Allahu Akbar. The term darb, daraba, does not mean to beat. It does not mean to beat. Many Qur'ans, you open them and they will tell you to beat her. That is a wrong translation. Let me give you evidence to prove what I'm saying. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum never ever beat their wives. They used a siwak. Siwak is a small stick like a toothbrush. And they tapped a woman who didn't want to look in their direction to even listen to what the problem is, to draw her attention. That is how they interpreted this, number one. Number two is the term darb is used in tayammum, that you should do darb upon the earth. Darb does not mean to beat, it means to tap the earth. If daraba meant only to beat, then that would mean when we are doing tayammum, we would have to slap the earth until our hands go red. Allahu Akbar. So remember one thing, if daraba, when it comes to tayammum, it does not mean to beat, but it rather means just to put your hand on, then you should remember women are more delicate than the earth and the soil. Allahu Akbar. Another point of evidence to prove that physical abuse is haram in Islam is that a woman has the right to seek nullification of her marriage if she is beaten up and thoroughly abused physically. Why would she be allowed to apply for a nullification if beating was permissible? Common sense, Allahu Akbar. And this is where the kuffar, the enemies of Islam, those who have little knowledge of Islam, those who surf the net to get the knowledge of Islam, those who answer the questions that creep up whilst they are reading the translation of the Quran themselves. For them, they don't know, they don't understand, either intentionally or unintentionally. They don't realize that in the Arabic language, when one word is used, it sometimes has more than 35 different meanings. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. We need to look at how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum interpreted that verse and what they did as a result. And we need to look at all the different terminologies and remember something. If you are to beat your wife nowadays, she might get up and beat you even more thoroughly. Allahu Akbar. So be careful. How many people we have that are complaining about husband bashing? Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. It is true. You find a man coming for Fajr Salah. Very, very early, automatically you know there's a problem. Then suddenly you see a blue scar on the top of his head. And then you think for a moment that that is a sign of the sujood that he has been engaged in all night. But it is not, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection. So beating is something that really is a wrong word to use. Because nowadays when you say beat up your wife, it is criminal behavior. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understand, may he make us understand. That having been said, we will never delete that word darb from the Quran. We believe it, we understand it, and we know that we should be drawing the attention of the women folk whenever sometimes out of the nature of a woman, she just sulks and sobs and looks in the other direction. You may want to then draw her attention with a little bit of energy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So that is the verse, and that is what I wanted to mention regarding this particular verse to clarify a misconception which is in a lot of people's minds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. And again, there is no need to be frightened of that verse. There is no need to delete it. In fact, if one thinks for a moment that there is something wrong with it, they may be just losing their iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. The Quran has no loopholes in it, and it does not have anything oppressive in it. It is full of peace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's look what else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. If you tried that as well and the problem did not resolve or you were unable to come to a solution, then you employ one member of your family who is senior, who is respectable, reputable, and let her employ one member of her family who is respectable and reputable, one representative from either side, inshallah. The two of them must be told exactly what the problem is. They, the two representatives, must sit together and arrive at a solution and impose it on these two, on the husband and wife, subhanallah. Because sometimes what happens, you come with something very reasonable for one of the two spouses and they say, no, I'm not prepared to listen. No, that's it. No, that's final. No, I'm going home. No, this. No, that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا. If you are now fearing a split between the two of them, then before you allow them to actually split, you need to employ another method. Notice how the Quran has not spoken about divorce immediately. It speaks about resolving it one way, then another way, then go to another level and a different level. And it shows that all marriages have at least a little bit of turbulence. Sometimes your boat will rock very slightly. Sometimes you might find a hole in the boat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, really. So Allah says,
فبعثوا حكما من أهله وحكما من أهلها.
Appoint one representative from his family who is reputable, respectable. One representative from her family who is reputable, respectable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says thereafter,
إِن يُرِيدَا إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا.
If the two of them are really interested in resolving the matter, then Allah will help them to resolve it. And this brings us to a powerful point of the Quran. The Quran is telling us that when you have a problem, if your intention is to solve it, you will be able to solve it. But if your intention is to prove who was right and who was wrong, you are not going to solve your problem. You will end up proving who was right and wrong, maybe, without solving the problem. Remember, when you are married, when you are living together, there is no point in trying to find out who was right and who was wrong sometimes. Sometimes you just need to help resolve, solve the matter, start a new leaf, turn a new chapter, begin on a clean slate, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us achieve that. So Allah says, if you really intend to resolve the matters, then you will be able to resolve them, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us genuine. Those who might have problems, if you are listening tonight, remember one thing, open your heart and ask yourself, am I just trying to prove who was right and who was wrong? Subhanallah. We once had a bit of a problem with a couple. And alhamdulillah, by the will of Allah, after explaining to them that you are not supposed to be trying to look at who was right and who was wrong here, turn a new leaf and stop discussing the past. Because if you bring back past issues, what happens is, you will go back to square one. So mashallah, they both agreed. Husband and wife were both walking out, mashallah. And as they were walking out, wife says, you see, I knew I was always right. And the problem started, they had to turn back and come back for counseling once again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection and understanding. Really, there is no point in going back to square one. Let us try and sit and think. Do we want to solve? Do we want to help? Especially, subhanallah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept you with such goodness, with so much blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have children, we have offspring, we have in-laws, we have relatives by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we want to mess it up overnight? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding and may He grant us an opening. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that definitely Allah is high. The two people, if they still cannot resolve the problem, there are two people from either party, one person from each party, if they still cannot come up with a solution, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now I will have mercy on you. I won't force you to live in that situation. You may now come out of that marriage. Allahu Akbar. Because you've tried everything. You've left no stone unturned. Now it is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has shown you a way out without oppressing the other party.
زوج ابنتك تقيا إن أحبها أكرمها وإن أبغضها لم يظلمها.
Get your daughters married to people who are conscious of Allah. If they love them, they will honor them. If they do not love them for some reason and there is a problem, they will send them home in one piece without oppressing them. It is a blessing and a gift. When a female has been sent home without being beaten and broken her bones, without being oppressed, the man fears Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us resolve our matters. May it not get to that. Today, for the smallest of issues, I know of an incident, and a true incident, and I'm going to say it here, even if those involved happen to be listening, where there was a woman, a bride, who could not pass the salad to the groom on the occasion of the walima, and he issued the word talaq immediately in front of everyone. Allahu Akbar. And he divorced his wife. He told her, if you can't pass me the salad here now, what are you going to do for me later on? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Such people are definitely the comrades of shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. That is not how you play with the laws of Allah. That is a very sacred word. You do not utter it. And you need to know something that is very, very important. And that is, it is farad and compulsory upon every one of us to learn the laws of divorce before we marry. If you are married and you don't know the laws of divorce, you better know them tonight before tomorrow morning. Because it is foolish to have a gun and you don't know what the trigger is all about. Allahu Akbar. So many people own guns, they don't know what the trigger is all about. So they face it squarely to their forehead and they fire. They fire 2-3 shots, then they say, you know what, I didn't know what the trigger was all about. Allahu Akbar. You want to marry without knowing the laws of divorce? You are a fool. You will crack your skull into 10 pieces, then you want to come to the ulama and ask for help. Why didn't you find out what that trigger was all about? Allahu Akbar. So we need to realize, when we come to weddings, the ulama are invited to give talks, mashallah. They cannot talk about divorce on the occasion of marriage, because that will spell doom for those who are getting together. They will say, I'm never going to call this alim again. Allahu Akbar. He wants to talk about divorce when we are getting married. But the reality is, we need to know the laws of divorce before we marry. Before you drive your car, you need a license. You can't just have a car, jump into it and not know what the red traffic light is all about. Allahu Akbar. That's what we are doing every time youngsters are getting married. It is our duty to take the rules of divorce in a booklet form or CD form and give it to them and say, brother, before you even go there, please read this, because you might terminate your marriage and you don't even know. ثَلَاثٌ جِدُّهُنَّ جِدٌّ وَهَزْلُهُنَّ جِدٌّ. There are three things. When you are joking about them, they occur. And when you are being serious about them, they still occur. They have nothing to do with your underlying intention. Even if you are joking, when you are joking about nikah, you will get married. When you are joking about talaq, you will be divorced. When you are joking about freeing a slave, the slave will be free. These are the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't ever joke about divorce, because it is actually valid and it will occur. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. In the same way that you don't joke with a live ammunition by facing it to people, you never ever do that, not even jokingly, because you might pull the trigger by mistake and then you've had it. The same applies to these laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us understand the laws of Allah. They are sacred laws. You do not threaten a female to say, I'll divorce you, I'll divorce you. Tomorrow you're going home and the following day you might and you will this and that may happen and this. You don't use that as a threat. You either resolve your problems or you send her home in one piece. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all protection and understanding. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that if you really have to divorce, how do you divorce? You issue one talaq, just one, only one. And you make sure you ask the ulama before you utter any words or before you write anything. You make sure you utter one. And you utter one in a condition where the woman has been cleansed after a menstrual cycle and you have not touched her after that. In terms of you have not been intimate with her after the last menstrual cycle, then you issue her with one talaq. And that will be an revocable talaq known as raj'i. You will then have the chance to take it back. Or if a period of 3 menstrual cycles passes after that and you have not yet taken her back, in that particular case, she is now no longer your wife. She is free to marry someone else, or she is free to also get back to you in a new nikah, because you only issued one talaq, you did not issue a second or a third. So you would be allowed to take her back. If you took her back for the second time, then what happened is, say for example, within that period of 3 months you took her back, you had another problem, you sent her home again, you issued her with another talaq. Then within the 3 menstrual cycles you took her back again. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that's the last time you can take her back. Now if you are to give her a third talaq, then you are not allowed to get back to her again, because now it doesn't make sense for her to keep on trying with you. Twice is enough. Allah says in the Quran, الطلاق مرتان فإمساك بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان. Divorce is twice. After that, you will have to make up your mind. You either keep her with goodness or you release her with goodness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells that to us. And it's amazing how powerful that law is, because after you have now issued the third talaq, after trying twice properly, when you issue the third one, she can no longer marry you until and unless she has, without your interference, married someone else and naturally, normally could not get on with him. Now, if she is divorced from that second person, naturally she might have been comparing while she was there. She might have now understood and realized. Now it would make sense for her if she came back to you with a totally new concept of what marriage is all about, appreciating who you are. So now she can come back. It is not just an old folk law which says if you divorce a woman, she must first marry someone else before she can get back to you. That is a foolish understanding. It is a deep Islamic, well-rooted foundation that is definitely from the Creator himself. He says you divorce her with one talaq. This business of a person issuing three talaqs is extremely dangerous. It is like a person who comes up and has three bullets and fires them all at once and then tells you, look, I didn't mean it. Allahu Akbar. Then they want to go to the ulama to find out now what is the story here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and grant us all understanding. You never issue three. You only ever utter one. Three is out of the question. A lot of us, when we are young, we hear the words talaq, talaq, talaq. Wallahi, those words are dangerous. That's not how you divorce a woman. That is more filthier than an animal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Really, you've lived with someone, you married them, you took them with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you release them even in a way that dogs wouldn't release their own opposite sex? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Really, then we want to come and cry and do this and do that. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on us. You release her with one, you try to resolve. If you happen to resolve, alhamdulillah, let her get back. If then second time it happens and the problem repeats itself or a new problem and she goes away with another talaq and you happen to bring her back even the second time, the third talaq that is issued now renders that talaq mughallad, which means it arrives at a high level. It is a serious, solemn talaq. You can't get back to her just like that. Let her now carry on in her life. Allahu Akbar. If somewhere down the line, and it is very rare for this to happen, that she would then get married and then she would be divorced once again from that man as well. Now she has an option together with you to say, do you know what? If we'd like to get back, I really appreciate, I understand and so on. And now I can compare, it's chalk and cheese and what have you. Now you can get back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection and understanding. Now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stipulated this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us, when you are divorced properly, he says, don't engage in mudslinging. Nobody must start saying, you know, she was like this and she was like that. And you know, he did this and he did that and he was like this. If that is what you are going to do, your future in your life is going to be a disaster. That is Allah's instruction, or Allah has said that that is what will happen. If you are engaging in mudslinging after you have been divorced or after you have divorced, then definitely you are not a good Muslim. Because a true Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Talaq three times, fear Allah. Fear Allah when it comes to talking about the spouse who is divorced or who has been divorced. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And Allah says, if you are going to be conscious of Allah, He will open your doors very quickly. Listen to what He says in Surah At-Talaq.
وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا.
If you are going to be conscious of Allah, you are going to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the divorce, Allah says, He will open the doors for you and He will show you an opening and grant you a spouse from a place that you hadn't ever dreamt of. And wallahi, that works. Allahu Akbar. Allah will get you married as soon as possible to someone even better, on condition that after the talaq you are fearful of Allah, you are conscious, you don't utter bad words about the one who divorced you or the one whom you divorced. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and grant us understanding. Allah says He will sustain you and provide for you also a spouse and much more than a spouse from a position where you had never ever imagined. And Allah says in Surah An-Nisa,
وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَا يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَعَتِهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِعًا حَكِيمًا.
If as a last resort you have decided to divorce, Allah says that is a mercy from me. If it is the last resort and you have divorced following all the steps, then Allah says, I will grant both spouses who have now been divorced, I will grant them goodness, because Allah has lots and lots of goodness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's goodness is not just closed to one of the two parties. If it didn't work, it didn't work. For your information, a lot of the Sahaba, if not majority of them, have also been through divorce. Majority of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been through divorce. But they were not shackled by culture like us. If the marriage didn't work, they sent the woman home with respect, with dignity. They still got on better than anything with that family. Allahu Akbar. And nobody bad-mouthed anyone. There was one sahabi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding, who divorced a woman and went to his friend and said, look, I didn't get along with her, but I think she would make a good wife for you. And then he married her. Allahu Akbar. And they were still friends. Those are the type of people we had. We have been overtaken by the Eastern culture, whereby divorce is a crime. You need to punish the individual. You need to talk bad about them. You need to prove who was right and wrong. You need to keep the kids away from them. You need to do this, and you need to really... All that is falling into the trap of shaitan. It will make your life a misery. Wallahi, if that is what you have done, tonight is the night to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to open the doors. Divorce is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it might be the most detested of halal things, but it is still a way out. There are other religions who don't allow you to divorce. Once you are married, you can never ever part ways until death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant guidance to those who have been through divorce or who have divorced. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us abstain from mudslinging, because wallahi, I swear by Allah, anyone who engages in mudslinging, they will pay for it before they die. Their life will be a misery. They will not taste goodness. They will never ever have happiness and bliss in their lives. Even if they want to lie to themselves that I am content, only inside they would know that I haven't tasted happiness since the time I messed my tongue speaking against her or speaking against him or punishing him or her with the children and so on. That is a grave test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Divorce is an action which opens the doors of new acts of worship. Allahu Akbar. The act of worship of allowing either custody or access to the other spouse or to the divorced individual only comes into play after divorce. So in the same way that nikah is an action, or nikah is a union, marriage is a union that opens the doors for many other acts of worship, such as looking after your family members or your relatives. The relatives have now increased and so on. There are many acts of worship that are now opened as a result of marriage. That is why it is called half of your faith. In the same way that that opens doors, divorce is also a very big test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only to see whether after the divorce you will fulfill those acts of worship that you did not have an opportunity to fulfill had you not gone through that divorce. That is a very powerful statement if you are to think about it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors for every one of us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He will provide for both. He will provide for everyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really grant us understanding. Also, what is prohibited according to the Quran is when a man takes a qasam and he says, I promise that I am never ever, or I swear by Allah that I am not going to be intimate with you. If he tells that to his wife and 4 months have passed, it is known as ila.
لِلَّذِينَ يُؤْلُونَ مِن نِسَائِهِمْ تَرَبُّصُ أَرْبَعَةِ أَشْهُرُ
They have 4 months to break that promise. You cannot promise one whom you are married to. Taking an oath by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, I'm definitely not going to be intimate with you. If that is the case, why did you get married? If 4 months have passed, then she may seek to nullify that marriage with the ulama. Or in a Muslim country, with the courts, with the Sharia courts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us understanding. This does not mean that if the marriage has not been consummated for more than 4 months with the happiness of both parties or without this particular oath, then it's suddenly broken. It doesn't just break automatically, no. And if the two parties have not been intimate for a long, long time, if they both are okay with it, there's nothing wrong, the marriage is intact. But where a man comes after a problem or for whatever reason and swears by Allah that he is not going to be intimate with his wife, in that particular case, if 4 months have lapsed, she has the right to seek nullification of that particular marriage. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. This brings me to yet another point. When a woman complains about the husband, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens and He responds and retaliates on her behalf. Listen to what he says. One day there was a woman who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, known as Al-Mujadila, the one who came to talk to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to try and tell him, to dispute, to say, look, my husband is being vulgar, he is doing this to me. He has told me that you and my mother are equal, so now you can go away. Allahu Akbar. You and my mother are equal. Allahu Akbar. What a statement. That is known as dhihar. Dhihar is a very, very dangerous statement in the Sharia. When you make your wife similar to a mahram of yours and you tell her, look, I am not interested. Now you can carry on. That is very dangerous. So she says, look, I gave birth to his children. I looked after him. He used me. Now when I am old and now when I am, bent and what have you, now he wants to throw me and discard me. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the process of comforting her and telling her that, okay, you know what, let's try and see what can be done and what have you and so on. And as she was walking away, verses were revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the whole surah is named after this lady, Al-Mujadila, the beginning of the 28th part of the Quran.
قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا.
Allahu Akbar. Allah says, Allah has heard the woman who came to you complaining about her husband and complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah just heard your discussion and here is the solution for your problem. Allahu Akbar. And the solution was presented. Doesn't this show us that when a woman complains about her husband, sometimes she doesn't have anyone to actually help her. Sometimes, believe me, it is impossible for counselors to believe that a man of that status and caliber can actually be that vulgar and physically abusive to his wife. Sometimes people who are purporting themselves to be so religious, they are vulgar to their wives, they don't respect them, they beat them up, they don't even count them as human beings. And then when that woman complains, people will say, but I think, you know, you might not be really being very accurate with me. May Allah protect us. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I listen, I hear, here is the solution. Allahu Akbar Kabira. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors for all of us, and may He not make us from amongst those who are punished by Him because of the way we treat our own offspring and our family members. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that whenever a person complains, definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always listening. He is always taking a record. He always knows. The solutions are always there. But that having been said, we need to realize and understand that when you oppress a woman who is supposed to be under your authority and under your guidance and guardianship, then who is going to help her if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't? This is why it is very, very dangerous to seek for a war with our Creator Himself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. And then after the talaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are some talaqs that you cannot get back to this woman after you have divorced her in that way. And some types of divorce you can get back to her. I've explained that partly. I'm not going to go into great depth because of time. But that having been said, when you've issued one or two, you can still get back to her. The minute you've given a third one, you cannot get back to her until she gets to someone. And if she is naturally and normally without your interference, if she is one day divorced from her, from him as well, she may want to consider if you are also considering getting back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors. Then there is one type of separation when you can never ever get back no matter what happens. And that is the separation after what is known as li'an. Li'an means when you accuse your wife of having slept with another man and you happen to take that accusation up to the courts of the Sharia or to the panel of ulama and you happen to swear an oath that you are telling the truth and you saw it with your eyes and she happens to swear an oath that you are telling a lie. Once she swears an oath that you are lying and you swore an oath that you are telling the truth, the two of you are separated forever and ever and ever, never to be able to get back again automatically just by that solemn oath. So this does not occur when you just accuse. May Allah protect us. When you accuse, you are a very big sinner, huge sinner, because we are not allowed to accuse in the Sharia. You are only allowed to speak from knowledge. When it comes to sexual misbehavior, you are only allowed to speak from knowledge, what you have seen with your eyes. But you cannot just accuse people. If you have just accused someone, it is a major, major sin. But it will not dissolve and the marriage. It will not separate the two. But when a person takes that up with the justice system in a Muslim country or with the panel of ulama in a non-Muslim country, in that particular case, the nikah will then be invalidated forever and ever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Then after the divorce, there is something known as an iddah. In the Quran, Allah makes mention of it very clearly. Iddah means the waiting period of a woman. When a woman is divorced, she needs to wait for a moment. She needs to wait for a period of 3 menstrual cycles to pass before she can get married to someone else. In order to protect her. That is why Allah has made that clear for her, and that is why Allah has stipulated it for her. Many women think that, you know, let me tell you, why is Allah telling us we must sit and wait? Why can't I get married the very next day? The truth is, when a person is divorced, if they then get married the very next day, who will know whose child it is if that woman then gets pregnant later on, or if she gives birth very soon? People might then start spreading rumor about her that, you see, she was impregnated by someone else, so that's why the husband divorced. So protect her from that statement. Tell her, look, for 3 complete menstrual cycles, you will remain without getting married, and you will remain indoors as far as you can. You will only come out for dire necessity during daylight hours. Otherwise, you must remain indoors. And you must not make up, you must not wear clothing that will display joy, because people must not start thinking that this woman is so happy. What would happen then is, when she gets married, people will say, you know what, she broke her marriage because she wanted to get to someone else. To save you from that type of rumor, which is very dangerous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wait for a minimum of 3 months, which means 3 menstrual cycles. For those who don't have menstrual cycles due to old age or menopause, the Quran says you must wait for 3 months. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Also, it is not necessary, nor is it Islamic, to wear the color black in the period of Iddah. That color black is not a color of mourning in Islam. In Islam, you can wear whatever color you'd like, inshallah, for as long as it is respectable, reputable. I'm talking about the women folk, alhamdulillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the cultures of the West and the cultures that are un-Islamic, that have crept into us. People actually think that in Iddah you must wear the color black. That is a color of mourning for the others, not for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. And this Iddah is not a period of mourning. It is just a waiting period for your benefit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. That is the instruction of Allah. That a woman who is divorced must wait before she marries again for a period of 3 menstrual cycles. And that is not a long period of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all our women folk the ability to adopt the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only time you don't have to wait for that 3-month period is if you are marrying the same person whom you were divorced from, in the case where he only issued 1 or 2 talaqs. Allahu Akbar. So if you are getting back to the same character, and I'm using the word character because if you've had such a big problem, he is no longer a man, he's a character. May Allah protect us all. If you're getting back to him, inshallah, what would happen is you would not have to wait for the end of that period. You would actually get back to him. If it is revocable, then there is no point in actually having a new nikah, because you can get back. It's a revocable talaq. If it is irrevocable, then you would have to have a new nikah done. And in order to get to the details of this, you will have to go back to the books and you will have to learn the rules and the laws of talaq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that a person who commits adultery, very interesting verse, the opening verses of Surah An-Nur. This is mentioned in Surah An-Nur because a person who commits adultery, the nur is snatched away from their faces and from their lives. The light is snatched away. So in Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك وحرم ذلك على المؤمنين.
If you pick up any translation into the English language, I've picked up quite a few and tried to look into them, the translation is not extremely accurate because the Arabic words have more than one meaning. The term nikah does not necessarily mean marriage. It also means the act of intercourse or intimacy. It is also referred to as nikah. So when the Quran says الزاني لا ينكح معناه لا يزني إلا بزانية أو مشركة الزاني لا يزني إلا بمن هي زانية أو مشركة. A woman or a man who is committing adultery,
is not committing adultery with anyone besides a woman who is equally guilty of the crime of adultery. Because if she was not, it would be rape. If she was not, it would be rape. So the difference between the two is that when a man is imposing himself and the woman does not want it, then it is rape. Or vice versa, it would also be rape. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when both of them are in the crime, they are both equally guilty of it. And that is why the verse is there. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end, وَحُرِّمَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This act is haram upon the believers. Now some translations say that an adulterer will not marry a woman except if she is an adulteress or a mushrika. And that is not correct, because many men who have committed adultery then go and marry women who are virgins. Allahu Akbar, they are innocent. That can happen. So it shows you that the translation of that verse is not accurate when it comes to the English translation of it. If you see the word marry, you must excuse the individual who translated that Quran, and you can cross it out and write the term had sexual intercourse with or was intimate with. Those are the terms you would actually be able to substitute that word marry with. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us understanding. Then one might ask, so why is the term mushrika there? The term mushrika is there because Allah is telling you that when a person is committing adultery, he is only committing adultery with an adulteress who is equally guilty of the crime, or a mushrika who does not even consider it haram. So she'll tell you, I'm not adultery. It's not adultery. That's my partner. Allahu Akbar. You can use the word partner or what have you. If you don't have a nikah, it is haram and it is adultery. So Allah says, when a person commits adultery, they are one of two people they are committing adultery with. Either someone who considers it prohibited but is equally guilty of the crime, she would then be an adulteress. Or a person who is a mushrika, who does not believe in the deen, who considers nothing wrong with it and is also involved in it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And really we need to understand this. This is something that many people have failed to understand because we have not gone into the books of tafsir and looked into reasons of revelation and seen deep what the sahaba radiallahu anhum have understood. And this brings me back to that initial point I raised at the beginning of this talk about daraba yadribu. It does not only mean to beat, it could mean to strike, it could mean to tap, just like when you are making your tayammum or when you are striking the earth. Some say you strike it, some say you tap it, some say you touch it, and alhamdulillah, all of it will get you to that tayammum. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection and understanding. Now, as you can see, it seems like this topic is so important, we have still not completed it, and inshallah we will continue it tomorrow by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are a few interesting examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. I think towards the end of Ramadan, let's end inshallah on a note whereby we will really have taken some food for thought outside the month of Ramadan. Before I end tonight, and inshallah I will just close for now, with a promise inshallah that tomorrow we will continue part 3 of this topic of marriage inshallah. Before I end, I'd like to remind you of one thing I told you at the beginning of Ramadan, and that is, when Ramadan ends, a lot of us become the bad people we were before Ramadan. No. I want to give you that example of the computer. When you've worked on the computer for one whole month, or for 3 hours, or for 4 hours, and you've saved, or for example, you've worked on WordPad or what have you for a long, long time, and then suddenly, you close the computer down and you forgot to save changes. What happens? You really feel so upset with yourself that I worked so hard, I did so much, and now I'm out. I'm going to have to start again from where I was, and I'm going to have to really rewrite and redo everything that I've had. Now, the month of Ramadan is here. We are all on a higher spiritual level. Wallahi, believe me, to be sitting in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this time of the night, to be listening to that word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a naturally understood, very easily understood, that this person is now on a higher level spiritually. But when we exit the month of Ramadan, we forget to save changes. So what happens? The computer shuts down and we are back to where we were before Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. We need to wait now for the next Ramadan before we can get back. This Ramadan, inshallah, think carefully. Before you move further, save your changes every few minutes. Every day save changes, inshallah. You click it. If you want to know, the icon is on the left-hand corner at the top, inshallah.
You save, you press save, and inshallah it will help you. So we press save every day, inshallah. So until we meet again tomorrow, let's save what we uttered today. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.